Hey everybody, welcome back. Ready for another deep dive? Today, we're going to be tackling something pretty profound. Wisdom.
Ah, wisdom.
Specifically, what the Book of James has to say about it.
That's right.
And to help us unpack all this, we've got, well, I don't know if you want to call yourself an expert, but we've got a guest who knows a lot about this.
Well, I don't know about that, but I've definitely spent some time wrestling with these ideas, and I'm excited to dive in.
That's all that matters.
Especially with this passage in James.
Yeah. And our main source for this deep dive is a lecture by Dr. David Bauer.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
On inductive Bible study.
Yeah.
And he really digs into James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18.
And a very practical passage, I think.
It is. And he focuses on this question of what real wisdom looks like compared to, you know, what we might call the wisdom of the world.
Right, because James contrasts these two very different kinds of wisdom. One he calls wisdom from above, and the other is, well, it's not from above.
Yeah, he doesn't mince words there, does he?
No, he doesn't. He uses some pretty strong language to describe it, actually.
Yeah, he calls it earthly, unspiritual, even demonic.
Wow.
Like, those are fighting words. And it really makes you wonder, have we gotten a little too casual about the kind of wisdom that we're buying into these days?
Yeah. Yeah. It's easy to just sort of absorb the messages we hear all around us, whether it's from the media or social media or even just the people in our lives.
Right. And sometimes those messages are, well, they're not exactly promoting the kind of wisdom that leads to peace and wholeness.
No. Definitely not. And I think that's what James is trying to wake us up to. He's saying, hey, be careful what you're feeding your mind and your heart because it has real consequences.
So how do we even recognize this wisdom from below? What are the red flags?
Well, James gives us a pretty clear picture when he contrasts it with the wisdom that comes from God.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about that. Because he doesn't just say it's different. He lays out a whole list of qualities that mark true wisdom.
Right. And some of them might surprise you. He describes it as pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. That's quite a mouthful.
It is. And I have to admit, when I first read that list, one word kind of jumped out at me. Submissive. It just, I don't know, it seemed a little out of place, especially in our culture that values, you know, independence and assertiveness. Like, how does that fit into wisdom?
Yeah, I can see why that word might raise some eyebrows.
It did for me.
But I think understanding the original language could be really helpful here.
Okay, break it down for us. What's the Greek word there and what does it really mean?
So the word James uses is epieikes.
Epieikes.
And it's, well, it's not about being a pushover or letting people walk all over you. It's more about having a humble and teachable spirit.
So it's not weakness, but a willingness to learn and grow.
Exactly. It's about being open to different perspectives, even if they challenge our own.
I like that. It's about being flexible, not rigid. Okay, but what about this idea of impartiality? How does that fit into wisdom?
Well, you know, James is really big on putting faith into action.
Yeah, yeah. He's famous for that line, faith without works is dead.
Exactly. So I think impartiality in this context is about living out our faith in a way that treats all people with dignity and respect, regardless of their background or social standing.
So it's about recognizing the inherent worth of every human being, not just the ones who are like us or the ones who can benefit us in some way.
That's it. It's about breaking down those barriers that we often put up between us and them and seeing everyone as our neighbor.
Powerful stuff. But, you know, it's one thing to talk about these qualities, but it's another thing to actually live them out, right?
Absolutely. And that's where I think James gets really challenging. He doesn't just give us a list of virtues to admire. He calls us to embody them, to make them a lived reality.
So it's not just about what we say, but about who we are at our core.
Right. And James goes even deeper than that. He obviously points to the root of the problem when it comes to this worldly wisdom. He talks about the heart.
The heart. That's interesting. So it's not just about our actions, but about our motivations, our deepest desires.
Exactly. And James calls out two specific traits that he sees as driving forces behind this wisdom from below. He calls them zelos and aritheia. Now, those words might sound a bit intimidating, but they're actually really relevant to our everyday lives.
Okay, break it down for us. What do those words actually mean, and how do they show up in our lives?
Well, zelos is often translated as jealousy, but it's more than just wanting what someone else has. It's about this burning desire to put yourself first, even if it means hurting others.
So it's like that cutthroat ambition, that willingness to step on anyone to get ahead.
Exactly. And aritheia is often translated as selfish ambition, and it's all about that relentless drive to climb the ladder, to achieve success and recognition, no matter the cost.
So it's like that constant striving, that feeling like we always have to prove ourselves and outdo everyone else.
Right. And, you know, we see these motivations playing out all around us, don't we? In the workplace, in our relationships, even in our family sometimes.
It's almost like those reality TV shows where people are constantly backstabbing and manipulating each other just to get ahead. It makes for entertaining television, but it's not exactly a recipe for a peaceful and just society.
You said it. And I think James is warning us that this kind of wisdom, driven by Zelos and Erythia, leads to chaos and disorder. It's the opposite of the peace and harmony that come from the wisdom from above.
So how do we break free from that cycle? If we're honest, most of us have probably fallen into these traps of jealousy and ambition at some point. How do we start cultivating that pure, peace-loving wisdom that James describes?
Well, that's a great question, and it's one that we'll be digging into in the next part of this deep dive. But before we go there, I think it's worth taking a moment to reflect on what we've uncovered so far.
Yeah, let's pause here for a second. Think about those motivations of Zelos and Erythia. Have you ever experienced that in your own life? Or seen it playing out in your relationships or your workplace? And if so, what were the consequences? We'll be back in a moment to explore the characteristics of true wisdom, according to James.
Welcome back. So we were talking about those dangers of wisdom from below, as James calls it.
Right. And those motivations like jealousy and selfish ambition.
Yeah. The Zelos and Erythia.
That can really mess things up.
Yeah, for sure. But let's turn to that other path James talks about.
Okay. Yeah. Let's dig into that. The wisdom from above, as he puts it. What makes it so different?
Well, James, he paints a pretty beautiful picture, you know.
He does, yeah.
Uses words like pure, peace-loving, considerate, full of mercy and good fruit.
It's quite a list.
It is. Impartial, sincere.
You know, when I look at that list, it's interesting that pure comes first. It's like all those other things, they kind of flow from that purity.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Makes me wonder, what does James even mean by pure here?
I think he's getting at the heart of it. You know,
okay, yeah,
purity of motive, not just doing the right things, but for the right reasons.
So it's not about like scoring points or looking good,
no,
but actually having your heart in the right place.
Yeah, aligning your heart with God's will, you know, letting go of all those self-serving agendas.
So like checking your ego at the door.
Yeah, exactly. It's not about you anymore. It's about something bigger. And I think that leads us to another key thing James talks about. Peace.
Okay, peace. We hear that word a lot, but what does it actually mean in this context?
I think for James, peace is both the method and the result of this kind of wisdom. It's not just the absence of conflict, but it's deeper.
Mm. You know? Yeah. What's that Hebrew word? Shalom.
Shalom, exactly. Yeah. Wholeness, well-being that permeates every part of your life.
This is making me think of something I've been struggling with lately. At my work, it's just gotten so competitive. Everybody's trying to like outshine each other.
I know that feeling.
And I've caught myself getting sucked into that, you know,
yeah.
Like I have to prove myself, climb the ladder, get ahead. And it's exhausting, frankly. And it definitely doesn't feel peaceful.
No, it doesn't, does it?
Yeah.
It sounds like you're recognizing that disconnect, you know,
yeah.
Between that worldly wisdom and what James is talking about.
Totally.
Because that striving, it takes a toll. Mm. You're always chasing after something that never satisfies.
So how do we break free? How do we actually pursue peace when it feels like everything's a battlefield?
Well, I think James gives us a clue when he talks about being considerate and gentle.
Okay.
These qualities, they invite us to step outside of ourselves, you know, to consider other people's needs, their perspectives.
So it's about approaching conflict with humility.
Yeah, like a willingness to listen. To seek understanding rather than just trying to win an argument.
It's about building bridges instead of walls.
Exactly. Choosing collaboration over competition.
You know, I gotta admit, though, sometimes it's hard to be gentle when you're dealing with people who are being aggressive or manipulative.
Oh, absolutely. That's a real tension, isn't it?
Yeah.
How do we balance being peacemakers with standing up for what's right?
Yeah, that's what I'm wrestling with.
I think it comes back to that purity of motive, you know? Are we acting out of revenge? Or self-righteousness?
Right.
Or are we truly seeking a just and peaceful resolution?
So it's not about being passive or letting people walk all over us.
No, not at all.
But responding with wisdom, I guess?
Right. Discernment, choosing your battles carefully, and always upholding truth and justice.
Makes sense. And then James, he goes on to talk about mercy, which I think is really interesting.
Oh, absolutely.
Because he's not just talking about, you know, warm, fuzzy feelings.
No.
But about actions, concrete actions.
Yeah, like practical, tangible help, like he talks about earlier in the book.
Right. Caring for the poor, the oppressed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing that everyone deserves dignity and respect, regardless of their circumstances.
And that ties back into that impartiality we talked about before.
Right. It's a radical inclusivity, you know.
It is.
Breaking down barriers, extending grace and kindness to all people.
It's a beautiful vision, but it also feels really challenging, you know.
Oh, it is.
In a world that's so divided, how do we even start to bridge those gaps and connect with people who are so different from us?
Well, that's where I think those last two qualities James mentions come in.
Okay, what are those?
Being full of good fruit and being sincere.
Okay, I see where you're going with this.
It's about authenticity, integrity.
Yeah.
Aligning our words and actions with our deepest values, living out our convictions in a way that inspires trust, builds genuine connection.
So it's not about putting on a show or trying to impress people.
No.
But really cultivating that goodness in our hearts and letting it overflow.
Yeah. And when we do that, when we align ourselves with that wisdom from above, we become agents of peace, of reconciliation.
Bringing healing and wholeness.
Yeah. To a broken world.
Mm.
It's powerful stuff, isn't it?
It is. But I'm also wondering, how does this connect to the messy realities of everyday life?
Right.
How do we apply these principles when we're surrounded by conflict and division?
That's where James gets even more challenging and where Dr. Bauer's insights really hit home. We'll be back in a moment to explore those challenges and how they connect to the wisdom from below.
Okay, so we're back and I'm like ready to get practical here. We've talked about the bad kind of wisdom, the good kind, but how do we actually live this out, you know?
Yeah, it's easy to talk about it, but when you look around, it doesn't seem like the world's running on that wisdom from above, does it?
Not so much.
And James, he knew that. You know, remember how he connected that wisdom from below to disorder, to every vile practice even?
Yeah.
Dr. Bauer, he makes this point. James is drawing a line between our insides and, you know, our hearts, our motives, and the state of the world out there.
So it's not just like a personal thing, like if I gossip or I'm selfish, it hurts me, but it's actually part of a bigger problem.
That's exactly what James is saying.
Yeah.
If our hearts are full of jealousy, ambition, it kind of poisons everything we do.
Right.
Our relationships, our goals. We end up making systems that benefit a few, but hurt a lot of others.
Oh, man. It's making me think of all those stories about, like, corporate greed or political corruption, even just everyday stuff, people taking advantage of each other.
Hmm.
It's like, are we surprised when the world's a mess if that's the kind of wisdom we're following?
It's tough to face, right?
Hmm.
But the good news is James gives us a way out. Starts with a change of heart.
Okay. Yeah, a change of heart. What does that even look like, though?
Repentance is the word he uses.
Yeah.
And it's not just feeling bad. It's turning away from those selfish motives and towards God.
So it's a complete shift, like changing direction.
Yeah, like flicking a switch. Instead of what's in it for me, it's how can I serve? How can I show God's love?
Okay, and then those qualities of wisdom from above, they can actually start to grow.
Exactly. When our motives are pure, we see everything differently. Peace matters more than power, gentleness over aggression, mercy.
It's like rewiring our brains almost.
That's a great way to put it. We're tuning into a whole different frequency, one that's lined up with God's heart.
Man, this is powerful, but it's a lifelong process, right?
Oh, for sure. We're going to mess up, fall back into old habits. But James, he reminds us, we don't have to do this alone.
Yeah, there's that verse about asking God for wisdom, right?
Right. If we lack wisdom, we can ask God, and he'll give it generously. No judgment.
That's encouraging. So prayer, spending time with God, reading the Bible, that all helps.
Absolutely. That's how we open ourselves up to God's power to change us, to let his wisdom shape us.
Wow. This has been honestly eye-opening. I feel like I've got a whole new understanding of what wisdom really is.
Me too. And living it out, it's a challenge, you know?
Oh, yeah.
The world often celebrates the opposite of what James is talking about. But that's, I think, where the real adventure is.
Being different, standing out.
Being a light. Mm-hmm. Showing that wisdom from above in everything we do.
So as we wrap this up, I just want to leave everyone with this. James says, our choices, the wisdom we follow, it impacts the world around us. What kind of impact are we making? Are we adding to the mess or are we planting seeds of peace, justice, love?
That's the question, isn't it?
It all comes down to the kind of wisdom we choose. Thanks for being here on this deep dive with us, everybody. We hope it's gotten you thinking, maybe even done a little soul searching.
It's been great being here.
Until next time, keep seeking that wisdom that truly matters.